And peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, sometimes it is good that we can remember exactly how blessed and fortunate we are. There are all kinds of mechanisms to make that happen. One mechanism I use is I watch Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe. So when watching Dirty Jobs, I realize that I'm pretty lucky because he does some awful things. And there's some horrible jobs out there that people do. Last night I was watching it and they had a couple somewhere here in Arizona whose job it is to go out into the desert and to collect brown recluse and black widow spiders, to find scorpions, and other things that have poison. They don't do the snakes so much, but they do the insects. And then they will drain the poison from the insects, and it'll be used to make antidotes, I guess. But the worst part about it, well, apart from collecting them, really seemed to be feeding them. Because they would all eat the larvae of flies. Either house flies or fruit flies. And I've watched the show a lot, and he's been in all kinds of nasty things. So when Mike Rowe walks into a room and begins to gag because of the smell, you know it's horrible. Smells are funny because they're not just there for us to necessarily be able to sniff things out, as it were. They have these ways of creating a sense of memory. And I would bet Mike Rowe's memory is well scarred with that particular smell. But think about it. There are smells that remind you of all kinds of things. There are probably smells that you smell that might take you back many years to grandma's house, to a holiday where the house always smelled a certain way with a certain type of food being prepared. You might have a different memory when you smell something like a new car. When I was an EMT in New Jersey, we had Mr. O that we would go to on a regular basis, and he had a smell that was one of those indelible markers that would make you go into the house and you'd go, "Oh!" Thus his name. I can remember all kinds of different smells to relate to different things. The one smell I remember actually was attached to a church, St. John's Lutheran Church in Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. I had a friend who was the pastor there, and while I was in seminary, he'd go on vacation, he'd call me up to go in and preach for him. And almost every time that I went there, when I got out of the car, there was this smell that would bring tears to my eyes. It was one of those smells that would put a taste in your mouth. Such a strong taste that actually when church was over and they had coffee hour, I couldn't even eat anything because it was there. It was the paper pulp processing plant that was in the neighboring community. And if you've ever smelled a paper pulp processing plant, how's that for alliteration? You probably won't forget it. To me, it stunk as bad as anything I'd ever smelled. But to those people, as many farmers will tell you about manure, it's the smell of money. But those smells will take us to different places, have us remember different things, always having us remember some historical moment within our lives and within our existence. And quite often when those things happen, we begin to think about the good old days. Because we love the good old days. Kind of funny how enamored we can sometimes become. Because the human brain seems to have this tendency, I think, to kind of wash itself clean. That the good old days, in reality, are only old. Not necessarily good. But we tend to forget about the negative experiences. We tend to wash away those bad things that have taken place, and we highlight the things that have brought us joy, the things that have made us feel good. And so we create the good old days. There's nothing wrong with that, unless you get stuck there. Because if you get stuck looking in the rearview mirror of life, wishing and wondering why it can't be the way it used to be, then there's a problem. The people of Israel loved looking in their rearview mirror. They were always yearning for the good old days because they couldn't imagine that the world they were living in could be so miserable, so disgusting, so challenging. And so they cried out to God on numerous times, can't you just send us back? Imagine, 400 years in slavery. And God sets them free. And then they begin to complain about what's on the menu.
Well, at least when we were in Egypt and we were slaves, we had bread to eat.
It is probably one of the more ridiculous things written in the Bible about a people saying anything. But the people of Israel were stuck, always looking back, always wondering about why it can't be the way it is. They want to see themselves back in Egypt. They want the restoration of David because David was the greatest thing since sliced bread, even though they had no idea what sliced bread was. And so they're always looking back and yearning and wondering. And God's urging them to move forward. Forward, look for the new, begin to live life, do things the way you've been asked to do things, renew this covenant that we have. Remember that? The covenant? I'm your God, you're my people, start acting like it, please. Which brings us to Jeremiah. Jeremiah sets them on their edge. Because Jeremiah says, you want a covenant? I got a covenant. God gives you a new covenant. And like good religious people everywhere, they go, new? We can't have new. It's got to be old. It's got to be the way it was. Don't give us something new. New things never work. What about the good old days? And so Jeremiah tells the people this new covenant isn't going to be like the old one. This isn't going to be chiseled in a rock that you're going to break. It's not going to be chiseled in stones that you're going to lose. It is going to be indelibly marked on your heart. So you can't lose it. No matter how hard you try, you can't forget it. Because it'll always be with you, as I, the Lord your God, am always with you. Why on the heart? Because it's about love. You know, we talk about the whole idea and understanding of God's law, and sometimes we get it so twisted around with the do's and the don'ts and the these and the owls and what we're supposed to do and how high we're supposed to jump and where we're supposed to turn and what we're supposed to wear and what we're supposed to eat and not eat and all those kind of different things on Tuesday, what it is that we're supposed to do, that we forget that the point and the purpose of those laws is based on love. You need an example? They asked Jesus about it. The greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on to say, under these two, all of the words of the law and the prophets fall. All the rules, all the regulations, all the do's and the don'ts and the these and the ows are about love. And so it's written in our hearts, there for us to remember and to hold throughout our lives. When we were baptized at the font, and somebody sprinkled a little water on us, dunked us down, threw us in a river, or however form we got baptized, the words were spoken, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," and you're marked with the cross of Christ forever. It is that marking of the cross that is there also to remind us of what is written in our heart, what it is that God has blessed us with, this love that has been endowed within us, this love that God calls us to share with the world around us, this love that is supposed to form and shape us, this love that is supposed to be our guide in making decisions in terms of how we treat our friends, how we treat our neighbors, and how we deal with our enemies. It is love that defines us. It is love that guides us. It is this love that God has placed that is written in our hearts that is there for us to turn to day in and day out to help us understand how it is we live life, to help us understand how it is we deal with the world around us, to help us understand how it is we deal with those people who are closest to us and those people we've never met, how it is we're supposed to deal with the world in which God has blessed us with, but most of all, how it is that we are called to deal with God through love. Love that God has blessed us with is the love that we return to the world in which we've been blessed with. It is written in our hearts. It is emblazoned upon our souls. It is there in our brains to take that which God has blessed us with, that love, and to use it throughout our days and throughout our time. That is upholding the new covenant. Amen.